Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Do you know that all of creation, everything that's in this world speaks exactly to who He is? When you start looking deep in there and you start diving deep in, it's always one of my favorite things to have somebody who is so focused on math and science and the way things function, like Einstein, such a pillar, to be the one to say, the more I went after it, the more I knew, the more I believed in a higher power. Why? Because the things in this world speak to who He is. They worship Him in so many ways. The stars, the way that we're tilted on the perfect axis, the way that all things work together in the world when it comes to like rainfall, to decomposition, to everything, the way it just goes around, to not be able to see that somebody put that together. And the cool part about that is He put it together for you. Hallelujah. I made all of these things and it needed something more. So I created you that you might have life. And He created you for life more abundantly. That's why in the beginning, Adam and Eve walked with God. They walked with Him on a regular basis. The thing about it that they didn't realize is that they had everything. He came and visited with Him every single day. And what was in that garden, it was provided. Every single thing was provided for them. And it's still what He desires for you now. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter if you're on the hilltops doing really, really great or you're in a moment in your life that's real low. Regardless of where you're at, He has something for you. Regardless of where you're at, He wants to continue to give you more. It's what makes this different. It's different than just walking into a church and doing church every single day and doing the things that you're used to doing. It's meant to be a relationship. You're meant to get to know who the Father is, who the person that created you is, because He knows you better than anybody else in this world. When you're searching, when you're looking for something, He already knows what it is that you need. You don't gotta turn to somebody else. You don't gotta look for it elsewhere, because He can give you exactly what you need in the moment that you're in right now. He saw it before you were coming to it. He knew where you were going to be before it even got here. And He knew exactly what things that you would need to get through it. Every single thing in your life, He is giving to you to build you up. But we, the human people that we are, tend to do this thing where something that He's saying, just rejoice through it. We can just choose to be so negative. And sometimes that mindset in itself can keep us from obtaining the things that He has for us. It really is a surrendering. We so often can do it easily when we are in our lowest of lows. How many of you, when you've been down and you don't know what to do, have just been like, God, I don't know what to do, and I need You? But that should be our moment all the time. God, I don't know what to do. Even in our regular walk, God, I don't know what I should do, but I know You know what I should do. I know You know the next steps. So even as I go through it, I'm going to rejoice in the midst of it. Oh, come on. It's changing the mindset. It's realizing that we aren't of this world. That there's a kingdom that he has for us. That he's given us the keys to obtain as long as we just go after him. It's there for you. And a lot of times, church, the most important thing is this right here. I just want to be next to you. I want to be one with you. My thoughts, the things that I'm doing, the emotions, Lord, I just want them to be what you want. Because our when we're made up of spirit, soul, and body, and our body can be what leads us so often and get us, it can get in the way of so much. But if we learn in those moments to quiet and just allow ourselves to go after him and focus on God, you begin to see that it's no longer you that's having to choose the roads you're going down, but it's him telling you, I've already got it for you. And if you'll just do what I'm asking you to do, if you'll just let go of the things I'm asking you to let go of, you'll see that I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to give you more.
Hallelujah.
I don't want you to be stuck. I want you to move forward. I don't want you to just be in this place. I have more.
Hallelujah.
He's got more for you.
Hallelujah.
He's got so much more.
You know, during this time of of the year, we're focusing on the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. And one of the things that came to my mind as I was worshiping is that Jesus had a place that he would go to whenever he wanted to meet with the Father. Not to say that every moment of his day was filled with the Father, but he would go to the garden and just spend time and pray and talk. And we know what went on at the last time that he was in that garden. A lot of deep emotion, a lot of heartfelt prayers that went on to the Father. But there was a place that all the ministry and all the people that he was surrounded by weren't around. It was just him and Daddy. And so something that I've noticed as of late is that the music that is being played, the words that have come from the pulpit, the words that have come through this microphone, it's been about abiding in who he is. It's been about staying close to who he is. And I think we all would agree that we can't make it on our own. All these things that are revolving around us, I know I can't handle it. If I didn't have him, I couldn't handle it. Sometimes we wonder how the other people that don't know Christ handle it. But there's a common message here. Abide in Christ. He's the only one that can fill those empty places.
Amen.
Stay close to him. That's the only way you're going to make it through this journey that we're on. Be open to all those things that he has for you, sometimes with no understanding why, how, but trust. He's taken care of us this long. Why would he stop this day? Just whatever it is, whether it's health or family or whatever it is that you're walking through this day, I bet he can handle it. Thank you.
He wants to hear you say you love him because he loves you so much. He'll do anything, and he did anything just because he loves you. And we look at the cross, and it's coming up. That's what we look at. And we look at the idea he forgave all our sins. He died for our sins. And he said he would heal us and that we are healed in the name of Jesus. But one thing that we forget to look at, he tore the curtain when before you couldn't get across to the altar. He couldn't. But he tore the curtain so we can have communion with him. Because he loves us and because he thinks of us as his, he adopted us. He adopted us and he won't leave us or forsake us. He'll always be with us. And we got to remember that relationship with him is bringing him close. So everything that they've been saying is why he died, so that way you could be his friend. You could be his partner. You could be, you read the Psalms, you read everything that you have in the Word, and it shows you how much he loves you and what he did for you. So don't look at it as only the sins or the healing. Look at the relationship because he loves you and he wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to walk with him. And as we walk with him, he will open doors that we could not imagine. But whenever we worry, then we're saying we don't trust him. But when you trust him, you spend time with him. It's just like your spouse. If you didn't spend time with your spouse, you wouldn't know who they are. But if you spend time with God, you spend time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you'll get to know as you read the word, it'll come alive. As it'll come alive, and all of a sudden you'll say, yeah, I know who you are. And you can walk in the cool of the morning with him. Amen. In Jesus' name.
How many want to hear his voice all around you? Come on, hallelujah. Can I just tell you that the word of God says that the whole creation expounds the glory of God. Is that right? Yes. That's what the Bible says anyway. So you can hear his voice all around you. Can I just tell you this, man? Just when you think that that he's not hearing you, you're going to find out that he's heard you all the time. How do you say amen to that? He's a good God. He's in love with you. Amen? Yes. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he's in love with you. Man, praise God. And say back to the, hey, you know, he's in love with you too. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's give him a praise. Let's offer him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Hallelujah. You can see we love to worship the Lord here. How many say amen to that? Amen. I can spend all day in some music and just worship God. I just love it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We had a fun picnic yesterday. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody that showed up and brought some food and got me fat. Amen? Hallelujah. I gained some weight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, when you following me, bro? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, how many know what today is? And as far as the Bible scheme, it's Palm Sunday today. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody show me your palms. Yeah, Palm Sunday, praise God. Let God see your palms, amen. Lord, we just thank you this morning for all that you do. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you, as we read your word today, Father, as we listen to your word, Father, as I speak your word, Father, that you would, by your spirit, Lord, show me, Lord, speak through me, and say the things you desire to say to your children this morning. God, we're glad to be in your house. We're glad to be in your presence. You've told us to enter your courts with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And into your courts, into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Have you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So hallelujah. Are you ready? Yeah. If you're ready, look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Yeah. What are you guys ready for? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Palm Sunday, you know, that's not the right palm, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to read this to you. Palm Sunday, John chapter, I believe, 12 through 16. Father, thank you for your word again. Hallelujah. I remember listening to some preacher, I can't remember even what his name was, but he said, right before he'd preach, he'd say, Father, help. And that was it. Amen. Praise God. And so I, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 12 in John chapter 12, the word of God says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on a donkey's colt. Hallelujah. And verse 16 says this, And these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. How do you know that the disciples were just men? Amen? They were doing things that God had told them, that Jesus was showing them. And a lot of the things that Jesus talked to them about, it really didn't hit home. I mean, you guys agree with me? They did not know. Some of the things are going, man, I don't get this. Why are we doing this, Lord? Especially some of the stuff that Jesus was doing when he walked on the water. How many say that would freak you out? Yeah, I mean, they saw him coming on the waves in the storm, and he's walking, and they're looking, they think it's some kind of a ghost or something, and then he finally says, fear not, it's me. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God, Jesus does some things and exposes things that sometimes we're not real comfortable. We don't know. We're kind of saying, man, is that true? Is that right? But you know, can I tell you that everything Jesus did, he did to show us the way a man or woman of God that's been redeemed is to walk. Do you know that? Yeah, didn't get much of that, but that's okay. That's okay. Anybody here? Hello? Hello, knock, knock. Anybody here? Hey, he didn't do anything that was out of order that we can do. Can I tell you that? Because he was showing what the design that God had made in the beginning should have been like. This is what Adam should have been like. And when he came, the Bible says he is our if you will, I'm going to say it in the ladies like to hear this, a pattern. I don't know. I know my mom had a lot of patterns laying around. She used to yell at me, don't you touch my pattern. Because they were real thin paper. Anybody remember those things? They used to sew through those things. They used to, I don't know what they, I really don't know what she did, but those were her patterns. Those were the designs that she used to make clothes and to make anything. She used the pattern. And see, I'm going to tell you something. You got to follow the pattern. Is that all right? I mean, if it shows us the sleeve should be this size, make it that size, right? Don't make one like this and the one on the other side like this. You want to make it as the pattern shows. And Jesus came to show he was our pattern. He is the design that God first intended. He sent him to the earth to show us, this is my intent. How many say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And he didn't do anything that you cannot do. Can I say that to you?
Yes.
Because it's really not you. It's him dwelling in you. It's him dwelling within you. That's who it is. It's not you at all. It's him dwelling in you. So the today's message is called the triumphal entry. I remember that. You know, I was going to call it. I told this to Pastor John this morning. I had another name for this. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I should tell you because it's a movie and it kind of throws everybody. Final Destination. Do you like that? Yeah. Do you like that?
Share it with us.
Final Destination. Do you like that?
I like it.
How many of you have seen the movie Final Destination? What's it about? People get killed in it all the time, back and forth. So I said, well, I better not do that one. Because some people might go, what?
Thank
what?
You.
What? Final Destination. Hey, Jesus was on a mission. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
God, he came to the earth to do the will of who?
God.
God, his Father. So let's look at Palm Sunday according to Mark. And Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. Let's look at that. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, when they came near to Jerusalem. And remember, keep in mind, Jesus knows exactly where he's at and what he's doing and what's happening. Can I say that to you? Jesus is not worried about world events. Is that right? He came to create a world event. Is that right? Folks, let me just say this to you. I'm going to say that to you again. He's not worried about world events. He came to create a world event. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. The kingdom of God has a charge to create a world event. That the world through us might see Jesus. Is that right? Come on, man. I felt the Lord in that. Hallelujah. You guys might not have let it, but I did. I'm going to do a little jig. That's okay. I did, and I'll do a jig. If that, that's okay. Hallelujah. Here it is. It says, and when they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent for two of his disciples and said to them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him, and if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say to that, ye say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him. Hallelujah. Hither. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door in a place where two ways met. And they loose him, and certain of them that stood there said to them,
hey, oi,
what do ye loosing the colt? And they said to them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be what? The kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Cool. And Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple, where when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. How many know that Jesus went in the temple and looked around? Is that what it says? He went in there and he looked around. Hallelujah. And it was almost like he says, I'll be back. I'm coming back. Amen. Because if you see him the very next day, he goes into the temple and he creates a ruckus. Let's say that. Is that right? He starts kicking over money changers' tables, flipping tables. I mean, flipping Pharisees on the ground, giving them till they tap out. No, man. I mean, Jesus Christ, he really created a ruckus when he went in the second time. But these folks, when they recognized the king, can you say amen to that? What was happening was the event that was predicted by the prophet Zechariah. And I'll read this to you. This is Zechariah 9:9. This is what the word of God says. Years before, how many say so? Years before. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. This is what the prophet's saying. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt and foal of a donkey. Is that okay? Here comes this king. Here comes the king. La da da da. No, that's the son, isn't it? Yeah, it's the son of God. Here comes the king riding on a what?
Donkey.
Wasn't on a horse. Wasn't on a camel. But he was on a beast of what the Bible says, burden. A beast of burden is what that donkey is. One, a working beast. Here Jesus comes in, and we've seen Jesus years later doing exactly what the prophet prophesied. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. And did it happen? Oh, you bet it did. Come on. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something about God and his kingdom and the people of his kingdom? And folks, we are headed in a direction that he's got planned way ahead of us. Can you say amen to that? He knows exactly where you're at. He knows where he's taking you. He absolutely knows the events that are surrounding you right now. And he knows happening so that you can be strengthened in the kingdom, in this kingdom. Do you know that? God loves you. He's not going to turn loose of you. You're not going to fail. You're not, all those words, all those things, because the word of God says that you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. How many say amen to that? Do you believe that you're more than a conqueror? Yeah, I mean, you got to tell God, Lord, your word says I'm more than a conqueror. Amen? Amen. Anytime you're going through something, you speak that. Just say that. God, your word says I'm more than a conqueror. What is more than a conqueror? Do you know what it is? What is more than a conqueror? I'll tell you what more than a conqueror is. It's Jesus. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. Amen? The Spirit of God that dwells in you is stronger than anything that the world can put forth to you. Can I tell you, how many of you know that my truck got stolen a few weeks ago? I mean, my beloved truck, my donkey. That was my donkey, man. He was my beast of burden. Hallelujah. And my daughter come out of the mall, my son with his mom, and my donkey has left his tying post. Praise God. And my son called me and he said something to him. When we were talking, he said, Dad, who? Folks, listen. Who is powerful enough to steal anything from the kingdom of God? Who? Ain't nothing on this earth that can do that. They think they can. They think they can get away with it. Can I say amen? Can you say amen to that? They got no idea what they're doing. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's a pastor's truck. Yeah, they don't know what they got. That's a pastor's truck. If they're cutting it up, every little cut's going to say, Jesus loves you, bro. Hallelujah. Repent. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You got no idea who you're messing with. We are more than conquerors through him. Hallelujah. Amen. That gave his life for us. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that it's important that we do what God wants us to do? When things go wrong, folks, he's saying rejoice. Come on. It's going to be hard, isn't it? God, I just broke my leg. Rejoice. What? No, but I'm telling you, this is what God's word. This is, it says in Thessalonians, this, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning who? Us. In all things, give thanks. You might not see what's happening. You might not know what's happening. But in your giving of thanks, the word of God says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And there is an outworking. There is an angel mob out there. How many say amen to that? There is a host of angels out there. Woo, who knows what God's going to do? But I will tell you that everything that goes on in our life is scheduled and planned by a loving Heavenly Father. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Read the Word of God. You say everything? Yeah, everything. You can't mean everything. Yeah, I mean everything. Yeah. It is scheduled and planned and understood by a loving Father. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Hallelujah. You can't stand unless you can stand trusting your Father. Can I say that to you?
Amen.
You've got to trust God in all things. Hallelujah. You got to trust Him. That he's going to lead you the right way. Is that okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can I tell you, when you're a child of God, it's almost impossible to make a wrong decision. Can I say, do you know why? Because your Father already knows your decisions in the head, in the advance. He already knows it. So it's almost impossible to make a wrong decision. We teach each other all the time, I made a bad decision. I made a wrong decision. Well, guess what? God is saying, no. Hey, when you're in my house, I will show you, I will lead you, I will guide you. I know the decisions you make, so you'll see something coming around the corner that will alter that decision or cause you to know, hey, God didn't lead me to this. I made it on my own, but God, I see that you are speaking to my heart. Can you say amen to that? He's always got you. Sometimes we think we make a bad decision. Oh, God left me. He hasn't left you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now what his word says? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe what God is saying to you? If you don't, hallelujah, amen. Hey, who are you talking to? You need to talk to the Lord. You need to go to the word of God. He'll show you in his words, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the what? End of the age. He's always with you. That's why you shouldn't be doing nothing you shouldn't be doing. How many say amen to that? Don't do that, man. He's always with you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something. I love the book of, the way Mark describes this event in Mark 11. So I'm going to take you back again, and I just want to show you a thing. I just want to show you a couple of things. And I feel the Lord is, the Lord rehearses a lot of things with me. I get rehearsed a lot. How many know, is that okay? Do you know you're supposed to rehearse the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you know that? Speak His Word. Speak His Word. That's how it gets down within you. That's how, when things are happening, that word that's within you will come up in your ears and you'll, oh God, God gave me an answer for this, or God showed me, or God reminded me that I'm not to be afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Because His Word is deeply planted in your heart. Folks, I'm going to say this again. You can't stand, you can't depend on anybody. Is that right? You cannot depend on mankind. You just can't. You depend on God. No one else. Go to Him. Ask Him. He'll show you. That's who He is. He created you to come into His presence. He bought your access, if you will. He gave you that card that you put in there, and it reads, or you look in there and He sees your eyes, and you walk into the throne room and say, God, I just need some help. He says, yeah, I'm with you. Come on, let's talk about it. God has provided you an access to Him, and He wants to give you everything that you need and more. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
More than what you can even imagine. More than what you can even understand. He has more for you. It's so, so, so good to know that He's on your side. Amen. Now watch this. And look at here in Mark chapter 11. It says, when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage, and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, He sent forth two of His disciples, two guys. And He said to them, go your way into the village. Everybody say, go your way.
Go your way
into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. What's really cool about Jesus is He knows everything. Is that right? And so He's just telling them, hey, go into the city. I don't even think they were in that city yet. But He said, go into that city and you're going to see a donkey out there tied, and loose him and bring him. Okay? And the guy goes, got it. We got it. We'll go. Let's go. So they take off and they go. And then, well, He says, if any man say to you, why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway He will send him. In other words, just tell him, hey, the Lord needs him. And as soon as we're done, we'll send him back. Is that okay? Yeah. So these two guys, the Bible says right here, and they went their way. Everybody say their way.
Their way.
Their way. They went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside or without in a place, and it's where two ways met, and they loosed him. I like that where it says, verse 4, they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside the place where two ways met. I want you to say, everybody say, two ways met.
Two ways met.
I just want you to know that all your life you're going to have a place where two ways meet. All your life. Yeah. You stick with me. You'll understand what I'm telling you. Because there's always going to be a place in your life every day, probably 10 times a day, where two ways meet. Okay? These guys had a choice. I can imagine one of them saying to the other one, say, well, wait a minute, bro. You know, Jesus said for us to just go loose him and take off with him. That sounds a lot to me like stealing.
Like your truck.
Like my truck. Loose him and get away. Sounds a lot like stealing to me. And he could say, you know, the other one says, yeah, well, the Lord said, just loose him. Here, I'm going to tell you something. Here's where two ways met. They could have, obviously, there was guys standing out there. Is that what they said? Those that were standing outside said to him, hey, what are you guys doing? Right? Obviously, there was guys outside. One of my first instincts would have been, you know what? I know he said just grab him, but let's go ask. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think Jesus did it on purpose. Because every time you run into a place where two ways meet, the only way to do it is Jesus' way. If he tells you to do something, do it the way he tells you to do it. Is that okay?
Yep.
Is that right?
Amen.
Jesus said, untie him and bring him. Your life is going to be full of places where you've got a choice. His way or my way. How many want his way?
Amen.
Every one of us should want his way. Lord, show me how to do it. Lord, this is what you said to do. I could ask these folks if I could borrow the donkey, but you said just to take it. Sounds like America's most wanted. Isn't that right? God, what do you want? These two guys did what Jesus said to do. Is that okay?
He,
yes, sir.
I don't mean to interrupt
you. No, go ask the question.
You know what? I saw living proof of you walking around this property
yeah.
before you ever moved into the church.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you were two ways meet.
Two ways meet. That's right.
You had faith. You prayed about it. And look where you are.
Come on. Praise
so
God.
Anybody that does not believe the word you're speaking.
Come on, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. The next prophet in the house, man. Yeah. Two ways, man. You're always going to be, folks, you're always going to stand in a place where you can either go with your own desires or your own thoughts, or you can just absolutely do what God tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you as a pastor before you this morning that I believe that we are in a time where it's not like it used to be. God is teaching the body of Christ to respond to him. He wants you to respond to him. You can't run to me and say, should I buy this car? No, I'm not going to say. I'm going to say, hey, yeah. I'm not going to say. Hey, what do you think, Pastor? We're looking at buying this house. What do you think? Doesn't matter what I think. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
It really matters are you going to the Lord? Are you asking him? If he's not telling you yes or no, I will tell you, folks, don't do it. If he's not telling you anything, just don't do it. He says that he wants us to be led by his Spirit. Doesn't that word of God say that? Be led by the Spirit. Be led by him. But I love him. Did he tell you? Did he say, I love him. I love her. She's the love of my life. Yeah, your 17-year-old life. Come on, man. We are being spoken by the Holy Ghost. Hey, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Folks, it sounds ugly, doesn't it? Take up your cross and follow me. But that take up your cross and follow me basically just means saying, you know, it's not what I want, God, it's what you want. I'll do what you want. I died. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me.
Yeah.
And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Lord, I will lay down my life to take up your desires. If he doesn't give you the okay, you don't see, folks, the scriptures are very, very informative if we'll look at them. The Bible says the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. Isn't that right? Another place in the Old Testament, it says they will go out with joy and they'll be led forth by peace.
Amen.
You're buying a car, you're buying a house, wait for the peace of God. If it doesn't come on you, back away. Is that okay?
Yep.
Folks, I really didn't plan to talk to you about buying and selling this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
I really didn't. But I can sense God is saying to you, look, be led by my Spirit, and I will take you to everything that you need if you can wait for me.
Amen.
He wants you to wait on him. He knows exactly where you are, so why would he withhold anything from you and let you go? Well, the deadline is day after tomorrow, so what? Amen? If God's not leading you into it, if you're not sensing the peace of God in it, just stop and say, you know what? I'm going to wait on God, because that's who you are. You are children of God. You are the called of God. You are anointed by God to do his work in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Anointed. You have an unction within you. It's called the Holy Ghost. He's calling you to say, hey, wait on me and I'll take you to where you never thought you'd go. You'd have, listen, houses you did not build. Amen?
Amen.
Vineyards you didn't plant. Hallelujah. Cities, desolate cities, you will raise up for the name of the Lord. Is that okay?
Amen.
Y'all, all of you, that's right. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it. Hallelujah. Oh, you'll always have that. How many of you like being pressured into something? You like that? Golly, I mean, how many of you have gone through that?
Go to church.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it like that. But folks, you know, I know, you know, when somebody's selling you a car or something, you know, I mean, like, especially at a car lot, they're after you. Go ahead and sign it. Yeah. Well, I want to trade in my car. Well, we don't want that piece of junk, but we'll throw it in. They don't throw nothing in. Yeah. Pressure is not from God. Can I tell you that?
Yes.
Pressure to do something that you're just not quite sure about doing. That pressure is not from God. Peace is from God. You will have a peace that operates within you and says, yeah, this is okay, this is good. God's going to help me with this. Boom. Buyer's remorse. Anybody ever had that? I see. Yeah, buyer's remorse. No more. Don't do it anymore. Rejoice in the Lord. In all things, give thanks. When you sense the peace of God that he's given you to do something, whatever it is, to go into a job or to go into a business, whatever it is, don't let fear come upon you. That's what buyer's remorse is. It's kind of a fear. I shouldn't have done that. Let me say amen. Come on, man. He sent his Holy Spirit to help you. He sent his Holy Spirit to come alongside. The Bible calls him a paraclete. Well, the word is a paraclete. He comes along and he comes alongside of you. Actually, comes along inside of you, and he'll lead you and guide you if you just calm down and wait. He knows your desires. He knows time frame. He knows all of that. They don't teach you that in business. It's taught to you in the Word of God. You're a child of God, and God's going to take care of you, and he's going to watch over you. So adhere, like we were talking, abide. The song we heard sang this morning, abide in him.
Amen.
Stay there. Don't move off of it until he says, okay, go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Two ways meet. I've gotten way away from my... Thy kingdom, how many of you prayed this? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many prayed that? If you prayed it, raise your hand. If you never prayed it, okay, well, let's do it the other way, because only half of you. Okay, if you didn't pray that, if you never prayed that, raise your hand. See, y'all prayed it. Why am I even talking up here? That's what I tell my wife. Why am I even talking? Nobody listens to me. No. Oh, that's fun. Hey. We've all said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It means what it says. Your kingdom come, God. And your will, Father, let it be done in my life, in my kids' life, in my family's life. Let your will be done, Father. It's your kingdom, and it's your will that I'm after. How many say amen to that? Praise God. That's the only way to operate in the earth today, because God says, I've got a plan. I'm doing something. Let me do what I want to do, and I'm going to use you. How many say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo. You're supposed to be up there talking.
Matthew 16:24. I pay him for this, guys. He gets $100 a week from me. Come on. You're funny. Hallelujah. Yeah, my brother Ed.
Supposed to be up there,
praise God. My brother. Matthew 16:24 says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. It's not that big of a deal. Can I say it's not that hard? Your body will tell you things. It will speak to you. Can I tell you that your body really wants to rule you? What? Yeah, your body wants to be in charge. Can I tell you that? It tells you when to eat, right? I don't feel like eating. I feel like I should lose some weight. And you're headed to the refrigerator. Your body does what it wants to do. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Tell it to stop. Just speak to it. Say, shut up. I'm not going to eat right now. I'm not eating that eclair. No. That donut? No. I don't care who it is that offered it to me. No. Because your hand will almost lay out of my... You know what? I used to fast. I still fast every once in a while, but I'd be on a fast at work. And it seemed like every time I was fasting, here comes the donuts from the vendors coming in with boxes of donuts. Or they'll come in with a bunch of food from... Well, just food. And you know what's crazy? My hand would be in that donut and it would be in my mouth faster than I could remember that I was fasting. I go, oh, three bites in. Oh, I'm fasting today. Jeez. Isn't it weird? Your body wants to rule you. Can I say that to you?
Amen.
It wants to tell you you can't do that because you're hurting. How many say amen to that? Your body's going to tell you, no, you can't do that. Mm-mm. You've got a bad arm. Don't pick that up. You've got a bad arm. Your body will speak to you. We're not picking that up. But if you go by what God's word says, it says by his stripes I've been healed. He said, I've got more. Because when you're in his presence, how many like going to the presence of God? Anybody got like just spend time going and praying and say, God, I just thank you and I love you, man. Thank you for today. I'm just spending a little bit of time in his presence and you go out actually feeling better than you did when you went in. How many say amen to that? Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy and the joy of the Lord is actually your strength. It's in his presence that you pick up joy and that joy is strength to you. Hallelujah. So if you're having trouble with your body, go into God's presence. I remember having a toothache. How many like toothaches? They're nice. Amen. They'll keep you awake at night. Amen? I had a toothache one day. I was at First Assembly, and as I walked up to where everybody was being prayed for, there seemed to be a presence. And when I walked in, that toothache just went away. And I got in, and I said, well, praise God. Feels good up here. All of a sudden, my toothache is gone. And they go by, and they're praying for folks, and I'm just praying. And then nobody prayed for me, so I turned around and walked back, and it seemed like there was a point in that church that I walked back towards the back, and bang, that that toothache came back. I turned around, went back up there, and it went away. Can I tell you, the presence of God is real. His presence, hallelujah. If there's joy in the presence of God, fullness of joy, and God will strengthen you in that. He'll strengthen your body. Don't let your body tell you what to do and don't let it give you commands. You say, no, you be quiet. I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. And the Lord wants you strong. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's the Holy Ghost. I'll do what God wants me to do first. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, deny yourself. You remember that rich young ruler that went to Jesus and he tells him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Do you remember him? And then Jesus looks at him and he goes, well, keep the commandments. He says, I've done all these all my life. And then Jesus tells him, well, I know you're rich. Sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. And then come, follow me. The Bible says that young rich ruler left sad because he had great possessions. T- taking up your cross and following him doesn't mean you have to throw everything aside. Can I say that to you?
Amen.
All he's trying to get you to do is say, hey, look, follow me. If it takes losing a red pickup, it's okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it takes losing a house, you're following me, it's okay. If it takes losing a loved one, which is tough, if you're following me, it's okay. How many say amen to that? I mean, it's God. Hey, God purchased you. You belong to him. Is that correct? Watch this. Some of you might not know that, but here it says, I don't know why I went to the rich young ruler. I didn't even think about him until now, but we got some rich young rulers in this house. Amen. Yeah. Come on, man. Okay. All right. How some rich older rulers you wish. Abraham, remember Abraham? God, put up, I think it's Genesis 22, I think it says. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now your son, your only son, amen, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah. And then this is the part, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. That's tough, isn't it? How many of you have read this before? You guys, every one of you in the house have read it before. But I will tell you something. When Abraham was going through this, it had to be horribly, horrifically hard. How many say amen to that? What? But if we read this chapter, you're going to see that Abraham didn't blink. He grabbed and says, all right. Next morning, he got up, got everything he needed, and took off to go sacrifice his son. The Bible, I think it's Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham knew that the promise was in Isaac. How many say amen? He says, because God told him, Isaac, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Isaac's going to be the one. But God is talking to him. He says, go sacrifice him. So God says, Abraham says, well, God, you already said that Isaac is the one that's going to be nations. And he said, so Abraham says, well, if I sacrifice it to you, the only thing you can do, God, is raise him back up again. He was confident in the fact that God already given him promise over the boy. Can I tell you, you need to be just that confident. You need to be as confident as you are, as you can be, in that whatever God has promised you, he's going to give it to you. Yep. You just got to be there. Amen?
Yeah.
He has promised you health. He has promised you, oh boy. He's promised you things you never even thought of and things you can't even describe to anybody. He's already promised them to you, but they are locked up within you and they're captured there by the word of God that God is trying to get to you to release them. Is that okay? That's why it's so important that you read the word of God. That's why it's so important that you listen to what God is saying to you. Because he is trying to take you into places you've never been before. He's trying to show you that he has great things for you. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, is yes. Rejoice. For your king comes. He's lowly. He's riding on a donkey. But in Zechariah, it says he's bringing salvation. Hey, how many of you know that salvation is an active thing going on in your life? Is that right? He takes you out of all sorts of messes that we get ourselves into. Amen? How many say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
That's what it. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21, 9 through 13. Look at this. This is he's ridden the donkey in. They've laid down their clothing and the palms and tree branches, and it says right here, the multitudes that went before that followed cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, right? Hosanna. How you guys know this song? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Man, they got this parade going on. Amen? Folks, this is a week before. This is the beginning of the week before Jesus died. Isn't that crazy? It's a big crowd. There's a lot of people. Huh. And man, they're rejoicing because they're saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of, he's a king. Hey, everybody, this is a king. He is our king. And you can say amen to that? He's the king and he's coming into Jerusalem. But his destination was not Jerusalem. Is that okay? Even though this is where he's at. It says this, the multitudes that went before and followed crying, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of what?
Prayer.
You have made it a den of what? My house should be called the house of prayer.
Amen.
My house. My house. Amen. See, this whole event is a type. It is a picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to enter into the temple, but it's not a temple made with stones. It is a temple made by hands, by his hands. It's within you. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
The temple that God is after, his final destination, if you would say, his triumphant entry, if you will, is not so much into the city of Jerusalem, into that temple in Jerusalem. His triumphant entry is into your heart. That's what he desires. And he is desiring that you would just say, hey, man, God, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. He's desiring that you from your heart would learn to operate in the way that he's designed you to operate. Is that okay? It is you are designed to operate being led by his Holy Spirit, spoken to by God. That's what we sang that song. Is that right? I want for your voice, Lord. Excuse me. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. He wants to hear his voice. He is desiring to take you into places that you never thought. I'm going to say that to you probably 10 times a day. He's desiring to take you to places you never thought you would go. Because of the kingdom of God that's dwelling within you, because of who he is, because of him dwelling in his temple within you, giving orders. Is that okay? Praise God. Picture this little tiny guy sitting in your heart going, hey, go here, go there, go up there, do this, say this to them, say this to them, do that, do that, do that. It sounds kind of funny and everything, but I'm going to tell you, he's a big God. And he's got some ideas that will blow your mind. How many say amen to that? He will take you to things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, you got to get this. Oh, man. Sometimes when I'm putting the message together at night, it's kind of late, or it's kind of, well, this morning, you know, and I'm kind of falling asleep. And then all of a sudden I'll get something and whoa, and it almost makes me want to get up and do a dance. I mean, it says, see, it says, okay, let me put it this way. You are bought with a price. How many say amen to that? You're going to agree with that. That's what the word of God says. You've been bought with a price. And it says, you're not your own. Right?
Yeah.
And then it says this. It says, so, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Can I just tell you this? When your body's bothering you, say, hey, you belong to God. Tell it, stop it. Knock it off. You belong to God.
Yeah.
You don't belong to me.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with you. You belong to God. My back is perfect, right? My lungs are perfect.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Folks, the Word of God says it this way. Listen, sometimes we want to go to all these people, go lay hands on you and get prayed, lay hands. The Scripture does tell us that, to do that. But the fact of the matter, listen, you want to hear the fact of the matter? No, let's, everybody say no. We don't want to hear the fact of the matter. Let's hear the truth of the matter. How about truth? You want to hear the truth of the matter?
Yes.
The Word of God says that He dwells in you.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Are we not read this all morning? He's dwelling in you. Therefore, listen. No, don't do it. Listen. The Word of God says it this way. If He that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if He dwells in you, He will also quicken your mortal body by that Spirit that dwells in you. Do you hear that? Can you hear it? I'm hoping you're hearing it. Because God is saying, look, it's me. I will heal you. Just talk to me. Come to me. Folks, you don't need a healing line. You don't need to go to, what's the guy's name? Benny Hinn. You don't need to drive all the way to Benny Hinn, take a plane to Benny Hinn. Slap in the face to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that in today's world? He is in you, and He says He will heal you, He will heal you, He will heal you. Stand on the Word of God, and you'll find that nothing is impossible for God. How many say amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He says, you are His. He paid for you. So what are you worried about? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You belong to Him. So you're going to come to two ways. Everybody stand, if you will. You're going to come to a point in your life where two ways meet. Amen.
Yes.
You're going to come. And can I tell you, there's only one way. Amen. Jesus said it this way. If you look at the screen, and it's John chapter 6. I'm sorry, 16. Did I give that to you, brother? John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm sorry. I think, look at the screen what it says. You're going to come to, everybody's going to come to a point in where you've got to make a decision. And God says, amen, wait on me. And then here's what He said. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come in here. I'm sorry. Chapter 14, verse 6. Everybody look at the screen. And the Word of God says, go call your husband. Hey, praise God, Jesus is our husband. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry, Terry. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 6. Glory to God. Go call your husband. I'm going to tell Rosie that next time. Jesus said to them, I am the way. You're going to come to a place where there's two ways. Always. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. Amen. You say amen to that? He's the way. Put it in your mind today. Say, Lord, You're the way. You are the only way. There is no other way. I mean, say amen to that. He's the only way. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So say, God, show me Your ways. Show me Your ways, Lord. The Word of God says that the children of Israel saw His acts, but Moses knew His ways. Show me Your ways, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your Word. Father, show us Your ways. Lord, when we are in those positions where we find that we are in a choice of direction, Father, we want Your direction. We want Your way, Father. Because we know that You are the only way. You are the truth, and You are the life. Father, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, that You would, by Your Spirit, Father God, quicken their hearts, not only in the things that have been said today, but Lord, all the things that You will be saying to them this week. As they read Your Word, as they spend time in Your presence, Lord, pray for the opening, the pouring out of blessing upon the lives of Your people. Oh, I thank you for it, Father. I give you praise for it, Lord. Let them shine as Moses shined when he came off the mountain. Father God, let them shine. Let them be an attraction in the earth because of you, who you are within them. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn around and hug somebody and say, thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for letting me look at your face. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.